This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
BC Hydro says that Vancouver Island will run short of peak power 2.5 years from now. To deal with this problem, Hydro plans to build a gas-fired power plant at Duke Point, just south of Nanaimo. The corporation says the plant will put an additional 250 megawatts into the grid, thus solving the peak power problem and making Vancouver Island more independent of the mainland. In February, the BC Utilities Commission approved a contract between BC Hydro and a private consortium to build the plant. Both the industrial and residential power users of Hydro say the peak power shortage can be solved in other ways. 10 days ago, residents of Gabriola Island organized a 3-hour power down they called Beat the Peak. Bob McKechnie is a member of the No Gas Plant Coalition, and he lives on Gabriola Island, which lies just east of Nanaimo. Bob is a retired professional engineer who has been opposed to the plant since it was first proposed 3 years ago, and he joins me this morning from Gabriola. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Lorraine.
What did people do during the power down?
It was a little bit of a festive atmosphere, actually. Probably the most unusual thing that happened is a lot of people just got together with their neighbors and had picnics. It happened to be a lovely kind of a spring summer day, and people took advantage of it to get out of their houses and be with their neighbors.
And what was the result then in terms of your powering down? What kind of reduction did you manage to achieve?
Well, it depends what statistic you want to look at, but the one we're most excited about was if we looked at the increase in power consumption between 4:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. on a normal day, a baseline day, let's say, and we compared how much that power consumption increased on the Beat the Peak day, it was a 77% reduction, which we were absolutely thrilled with.
I understand that the local hydro office helped out by installing a meter.
Yes, that was part of the whole demonstration. We did do it reasonably scientifically. We got and they were very cooperative, by the way. The Nanaimo office, they're very interested in what we were doing, and they sent a line crew over 3 weeks prior to May 3rd. And they installed a little black box up on the cable, which brings all the electricity to Gabriola. And they logged the usage for that 3-week period, and then of course they logged it on May 3rd as well. So we were able to compare the records. We got a baseline, and then we compared the Beat the Peak record to that for drawing our conclusions.
What was your idea behind this action?
Well, underneath it all is that I don't think there's a single person on Gabriola wants this gas-fired plant in Nanaimo. We don't think it's necessary, and there are other alternatives, and not the least of these alternatives, and probably the first thing that even a first-year engineering student would think about would be to do load management. And by load management, I mean you encourage customers to conserve, to use less electricity. But in times of peak demand, there's a big peak in the demand, and that's what BC Hydro is saying that this gas-fired plant is necessary for. There's going to be a potential peak demand shortfall up until 2008, when a new transmission cable comes in. After 2008, with this new cable, there won't be any more peak demand problem. So if you have a peak demand problem, the first thing that, as I said, a first-year engineering student would think about is you try and smooth out the peaks. And for some reason or another that nobody quite understands, BC Hydro didn't consider that to be a viable option, and they say instead, no, we need this gas-fired plant. And so the people of Gabriola just kind of got together and sent this message out that, look, we can, if we're educated and have some sort of an incentive, we can easily reduce our peak.
Mm. So it kind of sounds like the people of Gabriola have a little bit more imagination going on than BC Hydro at the moment.
Well, I don't know if imagination is the word. We certainly had a lot of discussion on it. We've had a regular series of articles in the paper and lots of letters and discussions about it. So I would say that people are fairly well educated here about it, and yes, they're certainly in favor of this.
Why are you opposed then to the plant being built? Because obviously, you're making the argument that it's not needed because there are other ways to kind of solve that peak energy demand. What are the other reasons that you're opposed to the plant being built?
Well, probably if you talk to most people, the first thing they would say is it's going to be terrible on the environment. The idea of burning fossil fuels unnecessarily. The thing emits something like 800,000 tons of CO2 every year, so that's totally flying in the face of Canada's recent Kyoto commitments and indeed the BC government's recent climate change policies. And studies have come out as well with natural gas, although it's a relatively clean fuel compared to coal or something. But studies have shown that the emissions around gas-burning plants affect the health of the population. So environmentally, if coal were the only alternative, certainly I'd say let's have used gas. It's much cleaner. But the fact is, we don't need to burn anything to create electricity. There's the load management to get us through till the new cable comes on stream, and after that, there's just abundant green sustainable resources on Vancouver Island. There's lots of wind energy on the west coast, and there's wave energy, there's tides and stuff like that. We have biomass. There's all sorts of other reasons. So an environmental reason is one, but as well economically, it's just disastrous. The contract that BC Hydro was trying to put through with this group of investors in Alberta, it requires us BC ratepayers to pay them $35 million a year whether or not the plant runs. So that goes on for 25 years. And the cost of electricity coming from the plant, of course, it depends on the price of natural gas. During the BC Utilities Commission hearing, it was, I won't go into that, but the Joint Industry Electric Steering Committee has recently estimated that the cost of electricity from this plant is going to be something in the order of 22 cents a kilowatt hour, and that compares to like 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour for our regular hydroelectric, the heritage hydroelectricity we all enjoy. So environmentally, it doesn't make any sense, and economically, it's going to be a disaster. Everybody's predicting that it'll be so costly to run, it won't run.
No, it sounds like there's a lot of community opposition to it, but I understand that industrial users like Norske Canada are opposed to the plant. Why are they opposed to it?
Yes, well, it's interesting what you say. Yes, Gabrielans are certainly opposed to it, but there are citizens groups all up and down Vancouver Island. There's the GSX Coalition of Concerned Citizens. There's environmental organizations like SPEC and the David Suzuki organization. They're against it. And then the one I mentioned, or the one that you asked about, Norske, which is part of this Joint Industry Electric Steering Committee, those are all the big industrial users. So it's a very unusual situation where you have citizens, environmental, and industrial organizations all opposed to this plant, and then we have BC Hydro and a group of investors from Calgary trying to push it through. So now there was a question in there, and I've forgotten what the question is. Well, why is Norske opposed to it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Norske, like us, can see the writing on the wall that it's going to be very expensive electricity, and they simply don't want to have to pay 22 cents a kilowatt hour for the electricity. They'd rather have cheaper ways of doing it too.
Now you just touched on the BC Utilities Commission and they've approved the power plant. Why did they listen to arguments about other ways to deal with the peak power problem?
Well, that's the key question, and the answer to that is no. And I certainly don't understand why, and I don't know anybody that does. They basically ruled alternatives such as conservation and load management, as Gabriel has demonstrated, and green sustainable energy and stuff like that, they ruled it out of scope. In other words, they only considered alternatives that came out of a call for tender process that BC Hydro issued a year or so ago. And those were just about invariably thermal generation alternatives.
Who's going to benefit from this development then? Because obviously there's a lot of opposition coming from a lot of different sectors, but obviously someone stands to benefit here.
As far as I can tell, I think certainly the investors in Alberta are going to benefit, and I don't know who else. Well, the people that come to build the plant and supply the equipment, and of course, that those people will benefit, but certainly not the BC ratepayers.
And so when you say the BC ratepayers, those are people who are paying to BC Hydro for their power, correct?
Yes, and that includes, well, that's everybody. That's you and me and everybody who has uses electricity and pays BC Hydro for it.
Now, I understand that BC Hydro, in kind of the run-up to this development, BC Hydro is also given kind of discounted rates to the Pristine Power, which is the folks from Alberta, that benefit them, but obviously not the ratepayers.
You mean if the electricity gets exported to Alberta?
I'm thinking. I understand that there was a turbine that was developed for phase one of the plan.
Oh yes, yes. See, BC Hydro initially proposed to build this gas-fired plant themselves a couple of years ago, and that got turned down by the BC Utilities Commission as not being the most cost-effective way of producing electricity on Vancouver Island. So before hearing that, they just kind of proceeded on the assumption that it was going to be approved, so that they spent $120 million on the project, including buying a turbine, which is now sitting in a crate out in a warehouse in Surrey. So there was this kind of residual equipment left over from when BC Hydro was going to build the project. Yes, Pristine Power gets that $120 million worth of assets for $50 million, a bit of a bargain basement price. So yes, that certainly helped the BCUC decide that this was a good proposition for us.
So I just want to come back to your conservation action that you had, where you powered down and showed significant savings. Do you think that kind of savings is feasible day after day and during the winter months as well?
Well, there's two components to the savings. One is that people reduced consumption. They didn't waste as much electricity. I say that's sustainable. BC Hydro's own studies show that we waste something like 50% of our electricity in BC. So there's a big potential there for people to just get better habits of turning off lights and things like that, not leaving things running when they're not needed. So I say that's totally sustainable. The second component of what we did was we shifted our loads so people, instead of turning on their dishwashers at 6 o'clock at night, they turned them on at 8 or 9. So we took the load away from the peak time because, as I said earlier, this is a peak demand problem that we're faced with now. Vancouver Island isn't running out of electricity. It's just that these shortfalls during peak times. So the idea of shifting peaks, shifting usage away from peaks, that's sustainable too, and many countries do that as a matter of course. You get charged a higher rate if you for electricity use at 6 o'clock in England, for example. So people just take on the habit of shifting their loads, and yes, that's totally sustainable.
Bob, where do you see the next stage in the fight against the Duke Point power plant going, and how can people hook into that?
Well, there's an awful lot of letters and statements being made to political candidates at this time, prior to the election on Tuesday. I mean, if there's So that's what we'll see what happens as a result of that. There's the political aspect to it, because the government can at any time come in and overrule this, cancel the electricity purchase agreement that BC Hydro is approving, which of course everybody's wanting them to do. But the other possibility is that the BC Utilities process, by which this electricity purchase agreement was approved, was appealed in the appeals court of BC by the GSX Coalition of Concerned Citizens and the Joint Industry Electric Steering Committee. That appeal initially, the initial application was denied, but both of those organizations have applied to have that that decision reconsidered. So the appeals court will be once again reviewing the process the BCUC followed in approving the electricity purchase agreement, and I think it's on June 3rd. So there's a chance there that the leave for appeal will be granted to these two organizations, and I'm quite confident if the appeal does get heard properly in the appeals court, we'll see what happens in the courts.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for joining me this morning, Bob, and we'll keep our eyes on the situation.
Okay, Lorraine. Well, thanks for your interest. And if you have any other questions, please get back to me.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bob McKechnie spoke to us this morning from Gabriola Island, and he is a retired professional engineer and member of the No Gas Plant Coalition.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.